Corey, you know how important the census is, right?
It's so important.
Yeah, and we sound like a terrible PSA now. Okay, it's important.
Very important.
Is it like worth risking your life important?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that a little later.
Okay, well, what would you buy with a $450,000 COVID loan?
Well, if it's a COVID loan, I would probably use it to pay my employees, right?
Oh, that would be good. But this entrepreneur isn't really using it for relief.
Oh, imagine that. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. What do you think of when I say winter in Florida?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Well, it's going to get even more wonderful coming up.
Oh, good. All that and more coming up on this week's episode of the Florida Freak Show.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, step right up for the Florida Freak Show.
Welcome back to the Florida Freak Show. I'm Corey O'Donnell.
And I'm Kirsten O'Donnell.
And if you've ever read a Florida news story online or seen a Sunshine State newscast, you know that Florida's greatest export are weird stories about the people who live and play here. And we have a few of those, don't we, Kirsten?
I feel like I should just ask everybody to say it along with me.
Say it along.
Ripped from the headlines. Our first story comes to us from clickorlando.com.
Okay.
A U.S. census worker was trying to help residents fill out the 2020 census in Flagler County last week and was not made to feel very welcome after one resident threatened him with an AR-15 and even fired off a shot as the census worker was leaving.
Wow.
The resident, Michael Cooper, was on his front porch when the census worker entered in through an open gate and, according to witnesses, clearly identified himself as a census worker.
As you do.
Cooper responded by shouting at the worker, then going into his home, grabbing his AR-15 and loading around in the chamber.
Seems reasonable.
The census worker, who was also, by the way, driving a marked census vehicle, began to walk away when he heard the shot fired.
Jeez.
Cooper says he felt threatened and says the victim didn't identify himself, which of course doesn't jive with the neighbor's witness account.
Yeah.
He also denies firing the weapon until long after the census worker was gone, and only then because he doesn't keep a loaded firearm in his house. Responsible.
Yeah.
According to sheriff's deputies, Cooper didn't understand what he did wrong and then asked, "Could I go to jail for this?" He has been charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without intent to kill, and I'm guessing that the census worker is at least a little relieved that the 2020 count is now over.
"Could I go to jail for this?" seems like the national battle cry of the Florida man and woman, right? Here we go. The time-honored tradition of not wanting to talk to the census guy with a little sprinkle of Florida right there for you, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's not enough to just pretend you're not home. We Floridians are way too proud for that.
Well, I don't know. I'm pretty expert at hiding when the doorbell rings.
Right. It's like you just freeze in place. What's
I freeze
going
in
on?
Place. If I'm near a window, I might try to peek out it.
Sure.
But mostly I don't even breathe.
No.
I just wait until I hear them walk away. I don't know what I'm afraid of.
Yeah. I know. I sort of react the same way. I get what you're saying.
It's the introvert in me.
Why would anybody want to be a census worker?
Well, you know, I was on a census complete count committee at my last job before I, of course, became unemployed at aforementioned job.
Yeah, sure.
And actually, like, considered census work as, you know, a possible option when everything hit the fan with
sure.
us. But this type of scenario is exactly why I didn't pursue it.
Right.
Because the people who don't trust the government and are afraid to fill out the census form are the same people who come to the door with the AR-15.
I was going to say, that's like the Venn diagram where it's a perfect circle.
Yeah.
It's like the
it's
same
just
people.
One circle.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean. I mean, when we lost our jobs, I definitely looked into it, you know, as a way of making money working for the census, but I couldn't find anything of note around here. And while all jobs have some tough work, this seems like overly tough.
Oh, absolutely.
Just dealing with this sort of thing. I don't really feel like getting shot, so I'm not going to be a police officer anytime soon.
No.
Or apparently a census worker.
Both of them doing a very important job.
Yes.
So,
doing their civic duty.
That's right. So here in Florida, like 63.8% of people It's a very accurate number. I got it from the Census Bureau
Nicely done.
63.8% of people responded to the census the way you're supposed to. They either filled out the postcard and sent it back,
right,
went online and filled it out, dialed the toll-free number and answered the 10 questions.
Yeah, we responded to the census, right?
Yes. One of us is responsible, yes. Yeah,
you could probably make a guess on who that is.
And nobody knocked on our door, I'll point out.
Nice.
But that means 36% of people had to have some kind of follow-up. They had to have this dude come and knock on their door to tell them, hey, I just have 10 questions for you to fill out.
That's
seriously,
it.
How hard is
10
this?
10 questions. It's like being on a game show.
And it's like $1.5 trillion worth of federal funding or something.
Right.
You know, like if you want, see, I'm getting all preachy here,
right,
but you know,
if, no, but if you want like mental health care, you know, and stuff like that,
or hospitals or fire departments,
right,
you have to have an accurate census. Otherwise you don't have
they
enough
just say,
services.
Oh, they don't have enough people. So they have plenty of,
exactly,
plenty of money to go around. So
exactly. What I think this story really exhibits though, more than anything, is Florida doesn't know the difference between can and should.
Ah.
All right. So Floridians love to talk about stand your ground.
Right.
Which, of course, is, you know, the law that says if you are attacked.
Yes.
And you are not doing something unlawful.
Right.
You don't have to retreat.
Right.
You can stand your ground. If you have a perfectly good reason to believe that your life is at risk,
correct,
you can attack this person back, right?
Right.
It's a stand your ground law.
That's right.
Florida, like I said, doesn't know the difference between can and should.
Right.
Just because you can do something,
right,
doesn't mean necessarily you should,
right,
do something.
Yeah.
You know,
census workers are not there to hurt you.
No, absolutely
they're just there
not.
To get info.
Absolutely not. So, you know, I'm reminded of this whole can should thing every,
yeah,
time we go to the beach.
Yeah.
You know, just because a 75-year-old, 400-pound man can wear a Speedo to the beach.
Yeah.
It doesn't
mean
he should.
Truer words were never spoken.
So moving on to our next story, this one comes to us from Local10.com.
All right.
A member of the Miami-based R&B hip-hop group Pretty Ricky,
mm-hmm,
is now facing federal charges of wire fraud, bank fraud, and conspiracy to commit wire and bank fraud. And this story will probably sound a little familiar to our listeners and
certainly lead
to you, Corey.
Okay.
Investigators say Diamond Baby Blue Smith obtained a $426,000 COVID relief loan,
oh,
and then used the money to buy a Ferrari and some other luxury items as well.
As you do.
Smith is accused of using falsified documents to get the loan under the Paycheck Protection Program for his company, ThrowbackJersey.com. He's accused of trying to get another loan of $700,000 for another company and applying for loans on behalf of at least 10 others to get kickbacks on him. By the way, the Ferrari has been seized.
Oh, you know, I've seen a lot of hip-hop videos in my day.
As have I.
I've never really seen any, though, where, you know, they're popping Cristal, they're having,
sure,
a good time.
It's making it rain.
Big party, lots of money flashing and pools and all that sort of stuff.
Opulence.
Never seen federales or feds come in to seize the cars and everything like that.
Yeah, they leave that out.
Yeah,
they leave that out
in
all the videos.
I guess I just miss that part all the time.
Coming in with the claw and locking up the steering wheel,
yes,
on the Ferrari.
Yes. It probably doesn't happen too often.
So are you familiar with Pretty Ricky?
I'm not that familiar with them.
So, well, Pretty Ricky is a them,
oh,
of course.
Pretty Ricky is a them.
It's
okay.
The whole group. So you've got
the
Diamond
Royal
Baby
Pretty
Blue.
Ricky.
Right.
Yes.
You've got Diamond Baby Blue Smith, his brother Spectacular Smith,
yes,
Corey Slickum Mathis, and Marcus Pleasure P. Cooper.
Nice.
Spectacular Smith, who is, by the way, Baby Blue's Diamond Baby Blue's,
yeah,
brother,
yeah,
has had a pretty good career, actually. Like, in addition to his time with Pretty Ricky, which had some hits, he also started a social media management company,
nice,
that runs the accounts for, like, Soulja Boy and Bow Wow and Bone Thugs and Harmony. And I know none of those people are relevant anymore, but
still cool.
I'm sure they still have a pretty good social media following.
I'm sure they do.
He was on Love & Hip Hop Miami.
Nice.
So I'm thinking Diamond Baby Blue just, you know, is trying to live up to the standard that his brother has set here.
Yeah, high standards. Sibling rivalries will do that. You know, you want to rise to meet, you know, your brother or your sister in that sense.
Absolutely. So I was actually listening to some Pretty Ricky while I was writing this story today.
Why wouldn't you? Sounds good.
I needed a little inspiration, yeah. Right? And like R&B, hip hop, rap, not really my thing, mm-hmm. unless it's like from the 80s or earlier, and sure. then I'm down with it.
Sure.
But the newer stuff, not so much. But I really kind of enjoyed my little flashback into the early 2000s.
Nice.
Recognized a couple of the tunes.
Did you really?
Yeah. All and right. I think you would know at least one of the songs.
Okay.
It's called Grind With Me.
All right. Not sounding super familiar right now.
I'm sure it's about a pepper mill, right?
Yes. Why wouldn't it be? A fresh pepper.
So the song Grind With Me, uh-huh. I think you know, because it is totally the inspiration for the Lonely Island Dick in a Box song.
Oh, no way.
Absolutely. Like, it even has the step one, step two.
Oh, that's awesome. I would know that song then, I'm sure.
You totally would know it if you heard it.
If nothing else, I would really enjoy the, wow, this sounds so familiar. What is this about?
Absolutely, yeah. I did enjoy some of the lyrics from some of the other songs. I'd love to share a few with you, if you don't mind. One of my favorites, take them granny panties off, put a thong on.
Oh, that's a classic right there.
And this one, which I think really holds up well. I met you on MySpace. Now I'm about to fly you out to my place.
Ooh, man, that is killer for 2008, right?
Or earlier.
Earlier.
Yeah, like maybe 2005, 2006, yeah.
2008
may even been
past its time. Yeah, I feel like with these stories, I'm kind of a broken record with all of the fraud stories. But I will say it again. Why is it always the Ferrari or the yacht or the mansion that people want to buy with these big COVID loans?
Right? Like, right. I get the luxury. That's nice.
Yeah, just show a little humility, you know? Just, you know, maybe go for the $50,000 car and not the $90,000 car.
Yeah, instead of getting a Ferrari, get yourself a couple of Lexi, and a pontoon boat.
If you know the plural to Lexus, let us know.
You don't have to get the Lamborghini and the cigarette boat. You know.
As much as I'd love to get those.
Sure.
It's like maybe try to fly under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Gee, where did you get the money for this Ferrari, Mr. Haven't Sold an Album in 12 years?
Yeah. But again, sibling rivalries, it makes it harder to do these things. When you have a name like Diamond Baby Blue Smith, you have a lot to live up to.
That's so true, especially when your brother's name is Spectacular.
Spectacular.
I feel like Spectacular trumps Diamond.
Oh, yeah.
We'll leave that for the linguists to determine.
Yes.
By the way, little public service announcement here.
Oh, yes. Always
if
good.
You have information about COVID-19 loan fraud, and we have certainly seen it in our area here in Southwest Florida as well, report it by calling 866-720-5721 or visiting justice.gov, where they actually have a form for you to fill out to report COVID fraud because it is so common.
Yeah.
How sad is that?
Very sad.
So moving on to our next story, this one comes to us from Fox 13 News.
Ah.
Winter in Florida usually brings us beach weather, visitors from up north, and traffic. Mm-hmm. Now we can add one more thing to the list, snow.
Nice. What?
At least in Pasco County, where Snowcat Ridge will be a winter wonderland with a 60-foot tall hill and a 400-foot long snow tube run, as well as a snow play area where kids can build snowmen and hold snowball fights.
Well, there you go.
The snow, of course, will be man-made, or I guess really machine-made, right?
Yeah.
The snow park will be on the same property as Treehopper's Aerial Adventure Park and Screamageddon Horror Park. And no surprise, it'll be the only outdoor snow park in the state.
You're kidding me.
Also, not surprisingly, it'll only be open seasonally.
Oh, okay.
The exact dates of operation, of course, will depend on the weather, but they plan to open in November and hope to stay open through spring break.
Wow. I mean, while this sounds kind of fun, it also sounds insane. I love Florida, and one of the things I love most about Florida is that they have a little something for everyone here, but snow? Never going to happen, especially in Central Florida.
Yeah, I need to point out here, for those of you that don't live in Florida and don't know our geography here,
yeah,
like Pasco County isn't like North Florida,
no,
where they do occasionally, though very rarely, see real snow.
Yeah.
This is like in the Tampa area.
Mm-hmm.
This is in like the hot part of the state.
Right.
The part of the state that has no winter.
It gets a little warmer down here.
It gets a little
balmy.
Even
in the wintertime, it still stays pretty warm.
So imagine this park is going to be seasonal.
Yeah.
What a surprise. So I went to the website and kind of looked it up. It looks like they plan to open, or at least they're selling tickets already for November 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And they're selling tickets all the way through March 28th. So typically, the average high and low on November 20th.
Okay.
Average low. 55.
55, okay.
Average high of 76.
All right.
Now, at 55, up north.
Yeah.
Like where I'm from originally in Michigan.
Right.
55 is flipping shorts weather.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's really.
I mean, you're pushing it. You're pushing it. But you'll see people wear shorts at 55.
It's heavenly when you live up north.
Well, especially after a long winter.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
You the snow melts a little bit and you go, oh my God, I can wear my shorts. It's amazing.
Down here, we start wearing socks with our flip-flops.
And
a little bit more.
I will wear a coat when it's 55.
Right.
A coat, boots.
Yeah.
Because women only get so many opportunities to wear cute
boots. No. Yeah. Well, yeah.
So March 28th. Averages are about the same, right?
Sure.
79 in Dade City, 50 for a high, 56 for a low, so a little bit warmer. But I need to point out that this year, 2020, on March 28th, it was 93 degrees in Dade City.
Wow.
93. And I mean, in theory, that is the weather that this snow park is thinking they might actually be able to stay open. And I think the whole depends on the weather thing.
Right.
Will probably eliminate that, though.
Right. You know, I learned something from you a little earlier in this podcast
that
I think really sort of applies here. And it feels very much like a Ron Popeil type thing, so maybe you want to say it with me.
Oh.
Just because you can
doesn't
mean
you
should. Just because you can open a snow park in Florida and build hills in a place that has no hills doesn't necessarily mean you should.
Set it and forget it.
Yep.
So you got me on Ron Popeil now.
Oh, Ron Popeil. What an amazing, amazing man. Yeah.
I will say, though, like Floridians love their snow. And maybe it's just because, like, for the people who grew up here, the first time they see snow,
it's an emotional and
it real like
amazing
I know people
experience.
Who have taken like dozens of pictures of themselves
yes.
in like 2 inches of snow because they're so excited
right.
and their whole Facebook for weeks is you know snow.
And that's really fun to see. And maybe that's the experience they're hoping to capture with this snow park. I'm sure that they'll get there. I mean, even if it is man-made, it would still be really cool if you've never seen snow before.
Oh, absolutely. When I used to work at Festival of Trees, which was an event that I help run here in the Fort Myers area, we would occasionally get a snow machine and blast some snow flurries out the front of the art center that we were in. And people would love it. Like the look of joy on their faces when they saw snow coming from the skies.
It really makes the holidays feel like they're happening.
It was actually soap flakes.
Oh,
shh.
Keep that to yourself. Now, if anybody does know anything, what it's like to work in snow, that would be you. You were a ski instructor, weren't
ski
you not?
Patroller.
Ski patroller. Ski patroller.
I'm not a good enough skier to instruct anyone.
Don't make me instruct anybody on anything. I patrol. I don't instruct.
That's right. Yeah, no, I was a ski patroller for one winter up in Thompsonville, Michigan at Crystal Mountain.
Nice.
Which is a great place. Actual hills, actual snow.
Yeah.
Though, I mean, even up in northern Michigan, you have to have a snow machine.
Sure.
Or several snow machines to create more snow because you don't get enough snow to have skiing in the winter.
Yeah, the very small ski park that they had near where I grew up, Rainbow Basin, also had to go the route of the snow
machine. Well, that's a lot further south.
Right, and a lot further south, right.
So, yeah. So I will say, though, like the majority of the time I spent ski patrolling, honestly, mm-hmm. I was tooling around on the motorcycle or drinking hot cocoa in the lodge. But, you know, I did see that they have jobs on the website for Snowcat Ridge.
Hey.
So maybe I could get a little weekend gig as a patroller up there. You know,
I would love to see that.
I don't know if they're going to have a snowmobile.
Yeah.
Okay, so our last story comes to us from the Tampa Bay Times.
All right.
Pasco County Fire and Rescue was called to a scene on Pemberton Drive in Newport Richey for what they call a technical rescue. That spot is where a teenager was stuck in a storm drain and had to be extricated from it.
Oh.
So you might ask, how does a teenager get stuck underground in a storm drain?
How does a teenager get stuck underground in a storm drain?
Well, first, you get off the school bus after school.
Of course.
And then you drop your cell phone into said storm sewer.
That'll do it.
And then you remove a manhole cover, climb in to get your phone, and get stuck.
Yeah.
Firefighters say that the teenager was stuck in the drain for about an hour, and they were able to get the teen out without any injuries. Firefighters checked the drain for hazardous gases, and when they found none, they cleaned the teenager off and returned him or her to their parents.
Oh, well, we all know what it's like to lose a phone.
Oh, do we?
It is never a good thing. and we will go to great lengths to get that phone back wherever it is. But getting stuck in, getting into a storm drain and getting stuck, No.
Yeah, that's pretty adventurous, right?
Yeah, right.
I feel like this is a kid who maybe has lost a phone before.
Maybe. Doesn't want to feel the wrath of his parents.
Right, who are absolutely not going to buy them another $800 phone.
Right.
And I don't blame them one bit.
I don't blame them one bit either.
And whose parents probably also said, I am not going to get you the insurance on this phone.
Yeah.
Because that's an extra whatever a month. And you'll just lose it because you know you can.
Right.
Like I'm not even a parent, but I am channeling my inner.
It's just natural, right? It's just natural for that to occur. I do have to say that I kind of applaud this teen. They did go kind of above and beyond to try to get this phone back. So to me, if I'm thinking about a life lesson here, it's like that they've. You don't want them like going into storm drains anymore than they have to, but. It at least shows that they had enough of a
gumption
responsibility to make sure that they got that phone, that they were willing to go a little bit over the top to get it back. So
Corey,
yeah,
have you ever lost a phone?
Oh,
she
sure.
asked knowingly.
Yes, I've I have lost a phone before, and it seems like every time I do, it's always in a situation. It always feels like I've lost an appendage.
Absolutely.
at that moment. And it's not fun. And I could totally see myself going to some, you know, great lengths to try to get it back.
So the last time you lost a phone, we were in Fort Lauderdale.
We were.
Super Bowl weekend. Us and about 15,000 other Chiefs fans all at this big street party.
Yeah. And so why wouldn't you lose a phone in those circumstances? I mean, it's only natural, right? It just feels like it was just going to happen. I mean, and it did, and it was unfortunate, but, and you know, I guess if there was a silver lining to the whole thing, I wasn't busy looking at my phone for that entire Super Bowl victory, and it was very wonderful. I feel like I was in the moment the whole time.
And the majority of people, honestly, that you would have been texting during the game were the people you were with anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I probably should have just left it in my pocket anyway.
Your brother, your cousin, me, the whole family. Have you noticed that you have a tendency to lose or damage your phone when you're with your cousin Marty?
Oh, there is a correlation there, isn't there? Yeah.
Like a two-day-old phone once with him.
As far as I know.
Also, it is always at Chiefs games, I feel like.
It feels
Or involving the Chiefs games.
Yeah, I really had bad luck. It was almost like if I'm going to go to a game, if I don't lose my phone, they're going to lose the game.
Oh, there's a superstition.
Oh, that is a superstition that I've now created that I don't like at all. No, but there is some sort of correlation, but I've never seen him do anything nefarious with my phone.
I'm certainly not insinuating that, of course, because he also has a tendency to lose a phone or two.
We kind of get lost in the moment, and I guess the phones become the victim of those moments.
I think it's just contagious. That's all it is. But back to this kid in the storm sewer.
Yes. Yeah.
This, like, okay, yeah, we drove back to the scene of the loss the day after you lost your phone. I don't want to say the scene of the crime because we wouldn't want to presume.
No.
But this kid went above and beyond, like you said. Like, to remove a manhole cover?
I know.
Like, first of all, I would think you need some kind of special tool. I don't know if this kid's walking around with a crowbar in his or her backpack.
Yeah, I would think that you would need a special tool. But how? How did this happen?
And then, like, manhole covers are cast iron.
Yeah.
They weigh, like, 250 pounds. Like, I'm not exaggerating. They're almost two of me.
Yeah.
This is some pretty insane strength that this kid has.
Yeah. 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 It's just crazy.
Do you think it's like kind of like that weird mom strength when mom lifts up the car to rescue their baby? Do you think a teenager rescuing their phone?
It's like the adrenaline kicks in and it's not really endorphins necessarily, but just the will to get that manhole cover off.
That Bionic Man music starts playing in the background.
Yep. No, I mean, and like, again, to their point, it's like it must have been something very, very important on there. Like perhaps a high score on Candy Crush.
Oh, yeah. You can't lose that.
Don't want to lose that. There's no way that would be backed up to the cloud or anything.
So I will say, and this is just me kind of being blonde, like I'm reading the article and I go, it never told me if the kid found their phone.
Yeah.
And then I realized, that's probably how they got a hold of the fire department.
Probably.
So I feel safe in assuming that the story has indeed a happy ending, except maybe the kid got a hernia from the manhole cover.
Probably, yeah.
So, Corey, what did we learn this week?
Well, I learned that no matter what the perks or the pay is, it's not enough to be a census worker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I learned that the domain throwbackjersey.com is now available.
Oh, sweet. Get to go, Daddy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also learned that a state with no hills or snow can still find a market for a snow park.
At least we won't have avalanches.
Yeah, that's the important thing.
And I learned that my hard-earned tax dollars are paying for kids to retrieve their phones from the sewer now.
Oh, yes, your tax dollars at work.
So those were our freakiest Florida finds for the week. As always, you can find plenty of other wacky news stories from across the Sunshine State on our Facebook and Twitter pages.
That's right. Remember to follow us, like us, and share us. That's at FLA Freak Show. And if you see a Florida story we missed, please feel free to share it with us.
Also, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. We're pretty much on all of them, so we're not hard to find.
And I'd like to give a special shout out to Sean Martinelli, the reporter from NBC2, who did a great story that on us and this podcast. Thank you, Sean.
Thanks, Sean. And if you missed it, guess where you can find that story?
Oh, I bet you know.
On our Facebook page.
That's right.
FLA Freak Show.
That's right. Until next week, I'm Corey O'Donnell.
And I'm Kirsten O'Donnell, reminding you that we will be back. And until then, let your Florida freak flag fly.
Goodbye. Yeah,